Yes, you're listening to Law and Gospel on this Rumination Thursday, December the 6th in the year of our Lord 2018. As I indicated to you yesterday, we not only have Wes Reimnitz back in this area, but he's actually sitting in the studio. Hi, Wes.
Hi, Tom. It's wonderful to be here with you.
That's only because you just finished marrying your daughter.
Yeah, that was quite a trip out there to Virginia.
Well, I'm not interested in the trip as much as, did you just do a regular sermon that nobody made any comments about?
I did one of those law gospel sermons, you know. In particular, you'd have been proud. We've been talking about the vertical and the horizontal.
Oh, yes.
So I talked about the horizontal and the vertical.
And told your daughter to stop living just like a horizontal? Or what was it about?
Well, actually, they had some good lessons. They had Ruth, you know, your God, my God, and I follow you, you know.
Sure.
And then Ecclesiastes 4, where they talk about the three are stronger than one.
Really?
Yeah. And, of course, their references to Christ. You know, the unity candle is kind of going to a side, and they're going through a cord where it's man, wife, and Christ.
So your point was?
Well, the third lesson, which I really went off on, was Colossians 3, bearing one another's burning.
Yes, right.
Love, let the word of Christ dwell in you. Let the love of Christ, referee your heart.
So your point was, until you have a vertical, you're really not going to have a proper horizontal.
That's right. And
of course, nobody listens to sermons. Did anybody make a mention of your
sermon?
Actually,
countless people came up and said, that was a good ceremony. You gave me something to think about.
Yeah.
Never realized it that way before.
No. That's what every sermon should be, where they hear something that they already know in their heart is true, but they've never thought of it in that way.
You talked about it a little bit, I think, Monday or Tuesday with baptism.
Yes.
And I brought that up.
Good.
That in baptism, you know, they can begin to love Christ. They can begin to try and fulfill these things, but it's always coming back to the cross.
Well, I always say that pastors enjoy funeral sermons because a lot of times there's relatives there who may not only not be Lutheran, but may not also be not even Christian. And so were there folks there, friends of the bride and groom, who are of different religions?
Oh, boy. Purgatory. Unitarians. We're all going to make it somehow.
Any Muslims?
Yeah, Muslims too. Boy, I tell you what, it's a cross-section of the world.
Excellent. Because she's living in Washington, D.C. now.
Yes.
So, yes, that's... Well, that was really good. So it was an opportunity. A lot of times, most pastors don't like wedding sermons, mainly because of trying to get everything ready ahead of time. You know? Sometimes fighting with dual mother-in-laws or something like that. But the sermon itself is what you frankly did. All the other arrangements were made by others.
Well, they had their pastor, Pastor Johnson out of Washington, D.C., did the premarital counseling.
Excellent.
Did an excellent job. Just by the time I got there, they pretty much had set up the worship service, the ceremony the way
Excellent.
They wanted. And I came in and just put the finishing touches on how they set things up.
Well, we've been talking the last few weeks about faith and making a big distinction between historic faith, which is not saving faith. It just believes the history of the Bible, like Jesus died on the cross, rose from the dead, big deal. And saving faith, which believes the gospel connected. Now, today we're starting on law. Is there a distinction that Luther makes in his statements as to what law we're not talking about?
The ceremonial law?
Yes.
That was interesting.
Explain that.
He's not talking about the ceremonial law, but he goes on. What'd that go? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, about eight of his statements deal with the ceremonial law.
Yes.
But the ceremony, we know there's three laws from the Old Testament, right?
Three uses of the law.
The moral.
For the government, first use.
Well, the government would be, yeah, the political laws that were created while the Jews were a nation.
Yes.
And then there's the one that's the moral for the Ten Commandments.
Right.
Would we not? The third is the ceremonial. And that's the rules and regulations governing Old Testament worship and sacrifices.
Correct. You are correct there.
Okay.
And they were not saved from having to do the ceremonial law. They were saved, Luther makes the point, because they are breaking the moral law.
Because they're breaking the moral law, they're saved?
That's what Christ did.
Right.
Yeah, it's the moral law that's the problem.
Right.
The ceremonial law is no longer even necessary because Christ fulfilled the ceremonial law by dying on the cross. And remember, there was a whole group of, in the New Testament, they were called Judaizers.
Yes.
And who were they?
They were the ones that said, yeah, you could be a Christian, but you had to do all the Old Testament ceremonial laws.
Now, what do you think Luther's thinking about in the Roman Catholic Church as ceremonial laws?
Ceremonial.
Yes. I think when they go to confession, what are they told?
Confess everything.
And then what does the priest say?
You got to do this, you got to do that.
Yes. And we call it repentance. They call it penance.
Penance.
And I think penance is a ceremonial.
Mm.
You know, you got to say so many Our Fathers, so many Hail Marys, do all kinds of things.
Would the purgatory come into?
Yes.
Into that?
Because purgatory, and it took me a while to understand this, in Roman Catholic theology, does not forgive your sins.
Mm.
That took place on the cross by Christ. What they believe purgatory does is balance out the consequences of your temporal sins that you've done, so that God does give consequences to temporal sins, and if it hasn't balanced out at the point of your death, then you go to purgatory for that to occur.
Yeah, you know, I got asked that a couple of times.
Oh, at the wedding?
At the wedding during the...
What were they asking?
Well, they were saying, what about purgatory? We have to go to purgatory.
How'd you answer that?
I asked them, I said, well, why do you have purgatory in the first place? And he says, well, for our sins that we have at the point of death. And I said, are you telling me that Jesus didn't die for those? Well, yeah, Jesus died for them. And I said, then why do you need purgatory?
Yeah.
They couldn't get around the circle.
No. You've really learned what Jesus does a lot. He witnesses by asking questions.
Mm.
And he puts people, I'm absolutely convinced anyone who is a Christian and is doing false teaching cannot be consistent with that false teaching. They themselves know what's wrong.
Well, and one of them that brought up purgatory, I finally asked him, I said, if you were to pass on tonight and woke up and find yourself in heaven.
Yes.
Who would you give all the credit to? Could not answer.
They couldn't answer?
No, they said, luck.
Oh, my.
And they're supposed to be belonging to the church that teaches purgatory.
Yeah.
And they said, well, let me put it another way. What do you believe about Jesus? Well, he died for my sins.
Yes.
And I said, well, then why do you need to go to purgatory? You're going to heaven.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just no Bible passage to back that up.
No, that was the other thing I asked. Could you show me in the Bible where, well, that's another matter.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because it's not from the Bible. It's from tradition. I mean, the thief on the cross, Jesus looks at and says, today you will be with me in paradise when both of their spirits ascend to heaven and their bodies go into the grave. So this idea of purgatory is just not found anywhere in the scripture.
Oh, my, yes.
So I'm quite sure that Luther is thinking about what he would consider to be the ceremonial laws in the old, in the Roman Catholic Church at that time. But
sale of indulgences.
Yes. Yeah, that's another good one. But look at number 15. By the way, these are statements that Luther wrote, and then he asked students who were getting doctoral degrees to either show they were right or show they were wrong. And boy, this would have lasted a while, because there's how many statements just on law?
It's over 80.
Yes. And we already looked at faith, that whole, had a whole bunch.
71.
Yes. But if you believe that Jesus took care of just the ceremonial sins, then number 15 says that you must concede that he is speaking of death or punishment for sin against the ceremonial law. And, you know, the Pharisees really didn't believe that. In that one parable, remember the Pharisee says, thank God I'm not like that tax, because I do what? I tithe, I fast. It was all ceremonial laws. And he was looking down on others who didn't follow the ceremonial laws. But number 17 shows, as the law is, such is sin. As sin is, such is the punishment and remission of sin. And therefore, 18 kind of concludes, it follows, therefore, that Christ achieved nothing by his death, if he only died for the ceremonial laws, but that he only redeemed the Jews from the ceremonial laws, or only abrogated the ceremonies. What does the word abrogate mean?
Well, get rid of.
Yes, get rid of. Well said, yes. And therefore he died in vain also for the Jews, since he did not die for the sins against the moral law. See, this is what's so terrible about saying that Jesus died just for the ceremonial laws. Then how about your sins against the moral law?
Ooh, we'd be in trouble.
Well, that was what the whole Reformation was about.
That, I don't mean to jump ahead.
Yeah, but so, because we have only so much time.
Well, 32.
Yes.
If it's not much different than if it said Christ has died, it would be necessary to milk a goat or other domestic task. And then he goes on. It's the same way with their ceremonial things that they did, that's not going to save them.
Remember, there were over 600 laws that Judaism created for the obedience of the Sabbath day. You were not allowed to carry a bed. But two people could carry a bed. The one I like best is, you weren't allowed to carry a pitcher of liquid like water unless you could carry it in your mouth.
You know how long it took him to come up with that?
No.
436 years.
Yeah.
It's from the time of the captivity ended till the time Christ came.
That's right. And these were all these. Remember, they got angry with Jesus because he and his disciples were going through the cornfield.
Yes.
Plucking grain, and that was forbidden.
Because they were working.
And boy, did Jesus ever get them. Okay. He says, what if your donkey falls into a pit on the Sabbath? Are you going to wait till Sunday to pull him out? And then he shows those who are really working on the Sabbath, and those were the priests. If the Sabbath is supposed to be a day of rest, how come the priests are so busy?
Are working.
Yes. Yeah, a lot of people you and I hang around with really look forward to Friday, because for them it's the end of the week and they can relax, when actually after Friday begins our work. We're just the opposite.
We gear up for the weekend.
Yeah, yesterday I went on around. It was, how many miles did I go? Over 300 miles. And I saw delinquents, shut-ins, and then preached the Advent service last night, too. Yeah, I'm doing a theme on the names of Jesus from Isaiah. Mm. You know, Wonderful Counselor, et cetera, et cetera. And seeing how different the Bible understands those words compared to the way we do. Like counselor, you immediately think of a psychologist. Well, no, that's not what Jesus is meant by as counselor and stuff like that.
What did Jesus mean?
A counselor, remember, that becomes, he says, I'm going to send you another counselor who's the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And what is the work of the Holy Spirit is to increase our faith and the life of sanctification. So counselor really becomes a leader. Remember Matthew 25, all the works that they've done, they can't remember. It's because they were fruit of the Holy Spirit. And they just did them spontaneously without much thought concerning them. So number 39 really helps us here. Such then truly are these greater works which man does according to God's moral law.
Mm.
That is what Paul says, that through the law, sin is made sinful beyond measure. Through the law, sin slays me, and the law brings wrath. Yeah. I really like that phrase, sin is made sinful beyond measure, which means there's nothing you can do to counter it.
Yeah, if you back up to 34, though.
Yes.
I would like your little say on that. It firmly established, therefore, Paul is speaking not only of moral law, but also of the total power and force.
Immediately in my mind comes 1 Corinthians 15, that the sting of death is the law. In other words, the point I make there is I don't remember anywhere in the Bible where lions that eat human beings, which is contrary to why they were created, go to hell.
Mm.
The only people or parts of creation that go to hell are angels and human beings. And that's what I understand to talk of its total power and force.
Then that makes 39 and 40 flow a little bit easier.
Yes, that
the law,
sin is made sinful beyond measure. Why? Because there's a curse there that doesn't apply to animals.
Mm.
It only applies to human beings. In the day that you sin, death will be the result. Now, animals die, but that death that God was talking about is eternal death, which the devils will have. There's no salvation for evil angels, only for human beings.
Does that mean then our pets will be in heaven?
Well, Peter Kurowski wrote a wonderful book on that, Are Animals in Heaven? And he found a number of passages, even in the Old Testament, where the lion lies.
Lays with the lamb.
Yeah, this kind of thing. But more importantly, he came to the conclusion that the new heavens and the new earth are a restoration of what we have here on earth. So he believes that there will be animals in heaven. But the more important question he was dealing with, will your pets that you like be in heaven?
Right.
Now, see, he has a wife that just is looking forward to seeing her pets in heaven.
Not him?
Well, not me either. That's all I need is to have 5 dogs and 14 cats follow me everywhere I go.
Yeah, my wife and kids are the same way.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I tell you, I have no idea. If they are in heaven, and they could be, even your pets, then you'll still be in bliss.
Yeah.
And you will not be angry at God for anything. Because God's going to be feeding them. You won't have to.
Which brings up the question. It was kind of talked about a little bit with the Bush funeral, that he's talking with his wife.
Oh, yeah, I know. I believe that there is a question. It's called the interim. That it does give indications, like in Revelation, that they're gathered around waiting for the judgment day when their bodies will be rejoined. We do know that on the Mount of Transfiguration, there was Elijah and Moses.
Moses, yes.
And they were talking to each other. So how do we know that they weren't talking also in the interim? Early Luther believed that it's kind of like when you go to sleep at night and you wake up, you can't remember you were asleep, that's what the interim is like. But he did change his mind, I believe, later in life, that no, there is a time there, but there's no knowledge of what's going on earth. So some of the times you hear this, well, I know my father is looking down on me. And I keep thinking, well, I sure hope not.
Yeah, I would agree there.
So it's an open question as to what is going on in the interim. But for sure, on Judgment Day, when our bodies are restored, then we will be talking with each other, yes.
Well, on the other side of it, when you die, you're what, in eternity? You're no longer bound by time?
Well, that almost occurs at baptism.
Well, yes, at your baptism, you're part of eternity.
That's right. And so what would be the point you'd be making for the interim?
Well, when you pass on, you go into that eternal side and you're looking back, you know, not necessarily looking back at what's going on the earth, but there's no history there.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, these are questions. Remember, those are those 800,000 questions I have that the Bible doesn't answer. Remember, I say on the day of judgment, I'm going to go up to Gabriel's booth of unanswered questions. And what's the main question that I want to ask?
Your main question?
Yeah, I say it every time, is why some and not others?
Others.
And how that's not answered.
And how come I made it?
Well, that's, yeah. And Gabriel's going to look at me and say, I have no idea why he chose you. because we're no different than Paul before he was converted.
Mm.
You know, we may not be committing acts of murder, but we have thoughts of hatred and things like that.
Why we need to drown ourselves in our baptism daily.
That's right. And you just have to keep repeating that. I must say that
every day,
all the time. And then I was in a Bible study, and how do you know you're saved? And one answer, well, because I have faith. Well, how do you know that faith is good enough? And so they keep forgetting baptism.
Yeah. And I'm completely wet when I'm driving down the thoroughfare here in St. Louis. And I said, God, forgive me again for what I just said.
Yes, I know, because of these drivers that cut you off, etc. Yeah, I put on because I drive for Uber and Lyft, and they end up getting your traffic record, so you don't want to get any tickets or anything. Ooh. So I just put it on Cruise. I pass nobody.
I did pass a truck.
You did. Did it just start? Yeah, those are about the only ones when they're coming out of the, down the ramp to go onto the highway. But I tell people that, watch how many cars are going to be passing us. And I rarely pass a car, even in Cruise.
But even there, we have to remember our baptism. We're clothed in his righteousness.
Yes. You know, speaking of the law, we should not make up our own laws.
Hmm.
You know, God's laws are clear. You know, we've had some football players who have hit their fiancés or something like that. And I was listening to one of the persons, and he says, there is never a reason to hit a woman, ever. And I said, have you never watched Cops? And believe it or not, I was just saying that yesterday. In last night's news, the Missouri Highway Patrol chased after two women who had guns.
Ooh.
And they drew guns on them when they finally stopped them. And if the women had shot, well, the police are supposed to listen, you never hit a woman? No, you would shoot back at a woman that's shooting at you. So that's just a dumb rule to say that. I would say fiancés, husbands who hit women, they're almost always wrong. But there are women, if you watch some of these stories, who kill their husbands, kill their children, this kind of thing. And if you need to use violence to stop a woman from doing that, you better do it.
Yeah, well, I tend to think of Ephesians 5, you know, as Christ has loved the church, so husbands ought to love their wives.
That's right. That's the husband-wife relationship. But unfortunately, there are some husbands who have short tempers and this sort of thing. And then, you know, the police should be called if he's beating up their wife. But to have a rule or a law that you never hit a woman, that puts the police in a terrible position.
Puts everybody in a terrible position.
Yes, because who knows? You can be walking down the street, and here comes a woman with a knife at you, and which happened at a store recently.
Recently, yes.
Yeah. She had been arrested the day before, then they let her go, and boy, it was just terrible. Well, I'm really glad to have you with us today.
Oh, it's great to be with you.
Yep, and we're going to be meeting with our good friend, who? Smart Smith, yes.
Yes.
So, I'm Tom Baker. You listen to Law and Gospel. And tomorrow we're going to have open mic so you can ask me any questions. We talked about the law today. And the day before, we had a good conversation also. Any questions you might have, we're looking forward to hear them tomorrow beginning at 9:30. I'm Tom Baker and Wes Reimnitz. God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday morning at 9:30 on KFUO. For a tax-deductible gift to Law and Gospel, please make your check payable to Concordia Mission Society and mail it to Tom Baker, P.O. Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. To give online, visit lawandgospel101.com or call toll-free 1-877-267-1962. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.